What's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
This is Pucks in 7 with Ryan Payton and Victoria Matiash.
And we are brought to you by Sprott Money. We know every dollar counts. We're excited to team up with Sprott Money, Canada's leading precious metals dealer since 2008. They've been the go-to for investing in physical gold, silver, and platinum. Sprott Money has you covered, whether you're just starting out or have an established portfolio. Use the promo code PUCKSIN7, $10 off your first purchase. Visit SprottMoney.ca. That's SprottMoney.ca. Give them a call, 1-888-861-0775. Good to see you, Vic, and it's just the two of us today.
We are. We're going to kick it old school. We have had such an amazing run of guests this season so far.
Every show. Every show.
There hasn't been a dud yet. Not that we would say it, but I actually, hand to heart, honestly, they've all been really good.
Yeah. And, I thought the second
was pretty good. Right. We just won't name who they are. No, honest to goodness, they've all been fantastic.
They've been fantastic.
We've learned stuff. Everybody has the, you know, these great personalities as well, and it's been so much fun for us. And we had Kent Danico last week in our last episode. If you have missed it, we did the whole hour with him. We didn't bother doing our own thing at all because it just, and that we decided that on the fly.
Okay, and I was just going to say that. So right at the end of when we were done with Ken, we said goodbye to Ken, and then Vic and I were talking, and then she said, you know, how about we just keep Ken Danico for the whole time, and let's not do the other two segments. I said, yeah, great. It was fantastic. It was totally worthy. He was awesome, and I've been talking to so many people about it. They love it. I know you've had great feedback as well.
People really enjoyed that one.
Yeah.
So getting back to that, so check out the Ken Danico either on YouTube or anywhere you get your podcast if you're the audio person. I think most of our listeners are more audio. And check it out because he is thoroughly entertaining. But this week, like we did the last two seasons, because guests have been a new thing for us this year, we're just going to do just the two of us. This is going to be a zipper, like we used to call back in the day. And no guest. We're going to look at the East. We're going to look at the West. And we're going to do it in hopefully a more concise manner than maybe we do every single time.
Yeah, the zipper. Haven't heard the zipper in a while. Okay, we're going to go West. Yeah, we're going to go West. We're going to get guests on later on this week and then back to normal, if you will, next week, of course, when we continue on Pucks
in 7.
We have
some good ones lined up, too. So.
Oh, we do. Yep, ton of good ones. We're going to go West. Barry Trotz says, the Preds are trending and turning it around. We'll see McDavid close to 1,000, and we'll talk to you about the St. Louis Blues, among other topics out of the West. Let's begin, though, with the East. So much to get into. Buffalo, Toronto, Ottawa. Mitch Koff and how he's getting treated by John Tortorella, the Panthers, etc. To begin with the Penguins. And, you know, I was looking at, and I'm going to get this up right now because it's not great for Pittsburgh. But
they
They
stink, Ryan.
But hold on. So last season at this time, and if you go back, you can type in the date. And by the way, this is, and I'm going to steal your line, of course. This is Wednesday, the 13th of November. Mm-hmm. You go back to the scores from last night, Wednesday, or November 12th, 2023. And the Penguins were sitting 7-6 through 13 games. And they have 14 points. Shuffle off to this season right now, and they played a few more games. They have 17 in the book, and they still have 14 points. All I'm saying is they played more games, they have the same amount of points, but the record is not as, it's not as bad this season as I thought. I mean, look at you. You're like, can you just stop trying to make good out of this?
Oh, yeah, you're trying to find a silver lining here, I find I find quite extraordinary. You are a Pollyanna, and I appreciate that. Sunny side of the street and all that jazz.
But you're right. They're not good. So what is it then? Is it the age? Is it, you know, the Tan Crosby Malkin? Hey, you know what? You've done this. Time to go. There's been no support from the rest of the team. The Jari contract and everything, that was a disaster. Is it management? Is it coaching?
I think you just summed it up pretty well.
Yeah.
So, but in looking at management, when Kyle Dubas walked into this situation willingly, this is something that he wanted to take on. And when you understand that ownership was still interested in competing every single season, and they weren't ready to wrap it, and they weren't ready to retool or rebuild or any of the rees you want to use.
Yeah.
Okay. And they wanted to continue being competitive, but they were still stuck with this aging core and then weren't able to bring in these other pieces. Anthony Beauvillier ain't it, Ryan. I'm sorry.
No, he's not. No,
okay.
No,
and no. When your goaltending stinks the way it has this year, I'm not even actually leaving it all in the crease. I think there's a lot of stuff that's going wrong out front. And it's also three guys have given this a go so far this season, and they have all had a really rough go of it. So when you're stuck in the middle. You're not rebuilding. You're still trying to remain competitive, but you don't have the personnel to do it. When you have two players, Sidney Crosby and Evgeny Malkin, who are shouldering this team, and we should mention, Malkin came out and apologized to the fan base. And it wasn't just like, sorry, guys, we sucked. It was a very profuse and lengthy apology. Yeah. One of my favorite parts at the end. You know what, though? You can't be mad every day. It's a new day, I guess.
Right?
But I guess I think you can be mad every day,
Absolutely.
You continue to lose.
That game was... Oh. What would have made that even worse is if, say, they played a Chicago, say they played a San Jose, teams that are lower than them in the standings, but they played Dallas. Dallas is a great hockey team. But you're down six. You give up six goals
in the opening
20 minutes.
And they
had 12 shots on goal, the Dallas Stars did, and they had scored six. So if I do the math correctly, up 50% shooting percentage, right? Unbelievable. So yeah, I'm glad Malkin said that. He said, I'm sorry, fans. It was awful. It was terrible.
Yeah.
I think, Vic, I really think the train's kind of gone, left the station, and it's not going to come back. I'm trying to look at from last year to this year, but this is different. I really don't think the Penguins can... You know, Malkin also said, oh, there's 60 plus games to go. Anything can happen. But I just don't sense it.
They don't have the pieces. And they're already signaling that they are moving in a different direction because they did trade Lars Eller yesterday as well.
So this is
one of those pieces. Okay, he's not a top line forward, but he's an essential piece. He's going to Washington.
Yeah.
Four draft picks. There's no. You know, beating heart that's coming back right now to play for them. So he's going back to Washington where he actually won a cup. So Lars Eller is probably a big fee because the Capitals are
pretty good.
Somebody's smiling. So let's just wrap it at that. Let's see what they do. I think they're going to start to move out pieces. I will leave everyone hanging with this, including you. We will see. Let's not be so certain that Sidney Crosby retires a Penguin after all. That's all I'm going to say. Probably.
Okay.
But I don't feel 100% like I did maybe when he signed the extension. That's all I'm saying.
I would be stunned if he does not.
It would be
jarring. Yeah, not even Tristan. It would be jarring. I see where you're coming from. I know, that was weak, but whatever. It's like the Penguins. I'm trying.
It wasn't that bad.
It was pretty good. It was quick. It was like mid-sentence. Sometimes I think about them when you're talking. This was mid-sentence. I'm with you. Anyway, Crosby in a different uniform? Okay. But we've seen that before, different players over the years. Even Gretzky looked odd in the Kings, but then he was good in the Kings. He looked strange in the Blues, looked fine in the Rangers. When he started to move, you got accustomed to it.
The Kings was weird. But Stamkos is now a member of the Nashville Predators, and that's somebody that we thought was going to retire in Tampa Bay. So nobody's untradeable.
No, if it was any jersey other than a yellow one, I'd be fine with Stamkos in that one. What? Okay. You brought it up. Carolina Hurricanes. Next. Okay, so we've been speaking probably about them. I don't know how many podcasts we've done, but we've probably done about 70. Okay, boom, there you go.
Maybe
75% of the time we've talked about them. And what the consensus is or what we've been discussing is, hey, a lot of people may have thought that, oh, I don't know about this team. Maybe they took a step back, whatever. They have quietly gone about their business. I say this all the time in sports. Whether it's hockey, football, whatever it is, you can be a very good hockey team or football team. And if you're not getting the attention, sometimes that's a good thing.
Because I don't think they mind at all.
Exactly. That's what I'm getting at. So it's fine. You guys can talk about the Dallases, talk about the Jets, which we will do. And as you said in the lineup, we're legally obligated, which is pretty much we're tied to that until they lose a game. But the fact is that they're winning and they're still really good.
They're excellent. And it's not only that they're still continuing to buy in and execute the system under Rod Brind'Amour, which they had done so successfully outside of the postseason. We can mention that too. But during the regular season, they've been outstanding in that regard.
Did they get swept in the postseason or no?
Or was it 4-1?
I'm just kidding. Remember when you said we didn't get swept?
Oh, right.
Okay, carry on. Totally threw you off with that one.
No, you did.
That was a change up. Swing and a miss.
But
gone.
I'm right, though. I'm right,
yes,
though.
Yes, you are. You are. Yeah, I just was thinking Brenda Moore. Hey, no, you lost four.
That was
no,
too
no,
sly.
We didn't.
Way too sly. Yeah. So when you have them, and now they're scoring, look at what Marty Natchez is doing right now.
Oh, come on.
I have to be careful. I always call him Nachos down in my basement, and I don't want to call him Nachos on the air, but Marty Natchez.
Okay, yeah.
Nachos. That's a compliment as far as I'm concerned. He's a spicy hockey player right now. But when you have those guys,
well,
and how much fun is Jack Roslovich having right now?
I hope that story continues. I really do. Because if there's anyone who thought that he would actually be in a conversation, what, we're into the middle of November, about one of a really good stuff, I wouldn't have put him in the conversation.
Might,
not a chance.
He might score 40 goals.
Oh my
he
gosh.
Might. If he sticks on that line
Come on,
with Sebastian
no.
Aho and Svechkov, he's on pace for more than that right now. So why not?
He's got 9-14. You're right. 9-14.
I think he's leading the team right now. But everybody, Sean Walker is fitting in beautifully. Everybody was worried about the pieces that they, and by the way, good pieces they lost on the back end. And that was sort of the concern.
Yeah.
And then moving back one step further, oh no, Freddie Anderson is hurt again. Frustrating for everybody involved. There's no question of that. But now Kochetkov just moves in there. Ryan, he's won seven games in a row.
I was gonna mention he looks so in place, not out of place. He looks great. So whatever's wrong with Freddie, and you and I talked about this, we hate seeing injuries, and especially for Freddie because he's gone through so much. But the fact is, Carolina must see, okay, you know what? Let's just take him back and let's keep him out for an extended amount of time because there's no reason to rush him back anymore.
Not the way that Kochetkov's playing right now. 8 of 9. A big fantasy pickup, by the way, if anybody is listening.
Right.
He's widely available on ESPN.com leagues, so go grab him.
There's only two players on the team that have not scored. This is a balanced scoring team, and Natchez has the most with 9. Brent Burns and Jalen Chatfield.
Brent
both have played
Burns
14.
Doesn't have a point?
Brent Burns, no. Scored. No goal.
Okay.
No goal. He hasn't scored. He has
4
points. He's a plus 11, which is great, but he has no goals. So the only ones, Brent Burns and Jalen Chatfield, the only ones that don't have goals.
Chatfield doesn't surprise me, but Brent Burns and his shot, that does.
Yeah.
Like compared to maybe a Sean Walker, I would have guessed Brent Burns would have scored first.
Right.
So, but congratulations, Hurricanes. A lot of people were starting to write you off or, you know, maybe a wild card team at best in the Metropolitan, and you're proving to be a cream of the crop so far.
Yeah. They've gone from a category 1 to a 3 very quickly.
Very nice. Very nice. A little devastating and traumatic, but sure. We'll
I
go
know,
with that.
That's why I was hesitant, actually, to do that, because I thought, okay,
that's
when people...
That's a 50-50. Yeah.
I know, but let's just pretend we're watching one that's not
real.
They're
named the Hurricanes, so...
Exactly,
sure.
Right, yeah. The Florida Panthers, they lost last night to the Devils. We'll put that aside.
Yeah.
Devils are playing well, too. But Florida again, Vic, and I love to see Stanley Cup champion defending teams continue to play well, picking up right where they left off. This is a feisty team. This is a dangerous team. They're a bully kind of team. They've got skill. They've got goaltending. They've got defense. Great coach. I'm sure you've heard of him, Paul Maurice, before. I'm sure you've talked to him. I don't know, maybe you thought about him a couple times. But they're very good, kind of like Carolina. But there's, to me, they're going to be at or near the top of this Atlantic for most, if not the whole season.
I'm just thinking, though. And I'm not a big fan of the term Stanley Cup hangover. I think it's lazy. I think there's different terms.
It's ridiculous. It's a silly term. Yeah.
So, but I'll use it anyways. I really do wonder how they're going to look as such a physical team in February, in March. Oh, they're making the postseason. I don't think there's much of a conversation there. But I'm starting to wonder, because it's not even though that they went the entire distance last year and took Edmonton to a game 7. They were in that position the year before losing against Vegas.
Right.
This is now the third round. They're still human beings. And already Sam Bennett is a little bit banged up already. And that team needs Sam Bennett to be in the lineup for them to enjoy consistent success. So, yes, they're a playoff team.
You're not sold.
I'm sold on the way they're
on
playing
their play.
Right now.
Yes. Right.
They look fantastic. If I'm running another team in the NHL, I do not want to face them next week. I don't want to face them at the end of November, and I don't want to face them in December. I'm just starting to wonder about wear and tear. They're not robots. And as well as they are coached, as good as they are as individuals, as much as they buy into the system and as impressive as their physical play is, because that's what wins it in the playoffs. We know that.
Yeah, it does. And we saw that last year, especially.
I'm starting to wonder. And I wonder if there's going to be more injuries and more things to deal with, but maybe not. And hopefully not, because I'd like to see the Panthers play at their best. I'm wearing them today, if anybody's looking online.
Yep. Love it.
Bought this at game five.
I remember that.
2 seasons ago in Florida.
So. I think they'll be fine. I do.
Okay.
But yeah, it's a grind. It's a long season.
Mm-hmm.
And this isn't a Stanley Cup champion too, who, and then we'll move on. This isn't a Stanley Cup champion who just relies on finesse. You know, you look back, and this is going way back. I know the game has changed. But in the 80s, the Gretzky-led Oilers, you know, yeah, they hit some tough guys, but it was all about finesse. You know, they scored every single goal, 9-5 all the time. The Islanders were a little more tough. And then some of the other dynasties, I'm thinking, I'm just looking at, but the way that they're made up reminds me of kind of old school. We're doing old school this time, you and I doing this podcast, but kind of old school, the way they're built.
I like them.
Yeah, me too. No, me too. Well, of course you do. You have a jersey on.
They also, I like, guess what? I like the team that won the Stanley Cup. I think they're pretty good. Anywho, continue.
That's moving the insight. On. That's the insight that people come every week to this program.
Moving
I
on.
Really feel, and we talked about Freddie Anderson, I feel sick for Max Pacioretty. I really do. I was thinking the other day about, I've witnessed an Achilles tear in person. It wasn't me, but it was somebody. I witnessed what happened. And I'll never forget the scream and the pain that I heard. Now, this isn't the Achilles, but he's come back from that. So my point is, when I heard that, I thought, man, that is a devastating injury. When I saw that happen the other night, first thing I thought about was the Achilles. Oh, no, please no, please no.
You and everybody else watching.
Right? Because the leg just went like in the head down. And then right away, he banged the stick saying, yeah, something's wrong. I can't do this. It's going to be weeks. It's going to be weeks. And it's not just that, but Austin Matthews too with Toronto, Vic, that this lingering upper body injury of his.
Okay, so those are two different issues because the Toronto Maple Leafs can win without Max Pacioretty. He came on as a PTO initially, so
right. But he's been so good.
He has been good.
It's a big loss.
I still don't believe that the Maple Leafs will rise and fall on whether Max Pacioretty.
No, but he's a big piece that they're going to miss. I'm telling you,
Ryan, he's replaceable. Austin Matthews is not replaceable.
Who are the Leafs going to get that's going to replace Pacioretty?
You got to give me some time on that. But there's going to be some before the trade deadline type of situation. First of all, let's not end his career right now.
No, he's weeks away. He's weeks. He'll come back.
It's a hamstring. Everybody assumes it's a hamstring. It looks like a hamstring. I have never heard of anybody ending their career because of a hamstring injury. No. So that's good. It's good that it's not the Achilles. Okay. Yeah. So, and it's not a head injury. It's not a back or a spine injury. There could be worse things happening or a blood clot, something that's, you know, going to endanger your life.
Yeah.
So weeks, I don't know. What's weeks? January? February, this is somebody that you want healthy.
The middle of November, yeah.
Okay,
probably.
But you want him for the postseason anyway. You want a healthy Max Pacioretty for the postseason. Austin Matthews is a whole other bag of bananas. Okay, so here's somebody that they managed to make up for his absence for a couple of games. And then they ran into a very determined Ottawa Senators team last night.
Yeah.
And they
we will talk to in a second.
And they looked like POOP. I watched parts of that game. I wish I hadn't. I could have been doing other things. Actually watched mostly the Winnipeg Rangers game, but that's another story.
Yeah.
And so now you're thinking, okay, I think we're all assuming it's the wrist, but we don't know. Is that fair?
I would say yes. We're going to guess. Yeah.
We're going to guess it's the wrist.
Yeah.
I still want the Leafs. I don't care if it takes 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 5 weeks. I don't care about his personal numbers. I don't care that he doesn't.
You're saying keep him out until
he is good.
So this is interesting because I remember Craig Berube said the other day when asked about it, he said, we're trying to figure out how to manage this.
I don't like that language at all.
Are you kidding? No, that's like, okay, Max Pacioretty, you have a hamstring. Okay, now we know how to manage that, but you're still trying to figure out, and this happened in training camp. It was in the preseason that he's had this over the course of time. In the National Hockey League. So that really said to me that they don't have any idea. And he probably doesn't have any idea how to go about this thing. So They were 3-0, and then as you
still,
said,
the fact that they're still day to day with him and they're not shutting it down offers a little bit of optimism, I suppose.
Yeah, I don't know.
But on the upside, they've got Willie Nylander, they've got Mitch Marner, they've got a good team. Stolarz,
they all got yelled at last night on the bench.
Yeah, they deserved it. Last night was a dud. That was an anomalous dud. Okay, they just played poorly. But that's fine. It was like, reminded me of the Columbus game a few weeks back. They were just bad. Good teams play badly sometimes. But we will keep an eye very closely on what's going on with both of those players. But, I mean, the Leafs are a much better team with one of the top three players in the league in the lineup. So, and I think that matters a lot more.
No, it does. You wrote down here, the Sabres are an enigma.
I can't
so
figure them out.
So it is a puzzle. It's a mystery. Go ahead.
It's a puzzle wrapped in an enigma. There's some famous expression of something wrapped in something, wrapped in something. Probably should have gotten that prepared before I started talking. But they thought that this was a team that we didn't have to take seriously a couple weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And then they... And then they start winning. So they beat the Senators 5-1. They smoked the Rangers 6-1. The Rangers. They smoked the Rangers 6-1. Mm-hmm. They beat the Flames in a really hard-fought game that went to a shootout 3-2. Mm-hmm. And then I start to think, okay, let's take another look. Maybe they are what I had hoped they would become because of all the talent on this team. And then they absolutely get destroyed by the Montreal Canadiens.
7-5.
Well, they let in 7 goals. They score 5 themselves, but it's the Montreal Canadiens that are having their own issues and are not at the same level as the Sabres. I think we would all agree. And now we're hearing that Tage Thompson is dealing with something. And as of this moment, morning of November the 13th on a Wednesday, we don't know what it is. And that's concerning because Thompson has played great, Ryan.
Lower body injury, from what I gather. And this is kind of an eerie thing. Last season, November 14th. So almost to the date, he was injured as well. He was injured against Boston.
I don't like that.
Broke a hand and he missed 9 games. So it's a lower body injury, they say. Right now, Buffalo is 4-9-2, and I believe that's dead last in the NHL, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, 4-9-2, dead last in the National Hockey League.
Who are you talking about?
I'm sorry, Buffalo 7-8-1. I think 4-9-2 in the last 15. That's what I'm saying. So.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. No.
They're almost a 500 hockey.
Yeah. No. I was thinking something different. That the last whatever, and you know, there was
they're competitive though. You right know, Mike, now, they're competitive.
Mike Harrington covers, he's covered the Buffalo Sabres forever. He wrote a piece recently, and the title of it was, "Just When the Sabres Give Us a Little Bit of Hope, They Go Right Back Down."
They're an
this
enigma.
Is what they've been, this is the same song they've been playing for how long? How many years? Long time. Start well,
good.
Bad. They're not good.
But they have good players.
Doesn't mean you can be good if you have good players.
A couple of seasons
you gotta
ago,
come
they
together.
Ended really strongly. So
exactly.
That's what I'm sort of counting on. If they can stay in the mix. Anyways,
right.
I will continue to be enchanted by them when they play well.
Let's move on. Last couple ones quick here. Ottawa, absolutely impressed with what they've been doing. They were, yes, the Leafs, it was a dud by Toronto. But the fact is Ottawa played a great game. You know who I was watching a lot last night? Timmy Stützle. Number one, he looks great with
the shiner.
Looks fantastic. He is flying. He is such a good hockey player. Kachuk is there. They have a goaltender in Ullmark. I know Toronto is off, but forget about them. Give Ottawa a ton of credit. I'm really liking what I see, and I'm going to say this. If they continue to do this, Vic, they are a playoff team in my mind.
They're next stepping it this year for sure. Compared to what we've watched in the past when we're like, come on, guys, get it together. You guys have the talent. You have the personnel. Let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go. And then we didn't really get a good taste of it to start the season because Ullmark was hurt.
Yeah.
Shane Pinto was also dealing with some stuff. Zub is in a very important part of that team, and he had missed some games as well. But now the gang's all back together, all healthy and fit. And the way that they basically manhandled the Leafs last night was very impressive. I know it was a bad night for Toronto, but at the same time, there was no weakness on this team.
No.
They were defensively solid. They were good up front. They were in sync. They had the extra step. They were physical, and the goaltending was outstanding. Well,
and that's why I was saying, don't take anything away from Ottawa. The Ottawa played such a solid end-to-end hockey game. I'm impressed. I really am. Okay, last one before we head west. The situation involving Michkov and Philly, the handling by John Tortorella. I've got my opinion. Where do you stand on it?
So I don't mind it. Now, here's my thing. So let's summarize. John Tortorella, okay, Matvey Michkov, a rookie with the Philadelphia Flyers, and by far right now their most exciting player. I mean, mm-hmm. that's why you're watching Flyers games. Mm-hmm. He was off to a rocket of a start. Everybody already has him at, or had him as the favorite for the Calder, legitimately so. And then he stumbled for a couple of games and Tort sat him. Two games in a row. Mm-hmm. Now, the first healthy scratcher, like, give the guy a break. He can watch the game from the press box. He's still learning, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. That's how Torts phrased it. But then he sat him a second game, and people started to question, okay, now this feels a little punitive. Mm-hmm. What's the direction he's taking here? You need two games in a row to learn. Then Michkov comes back, scores a goal, scores an assist, and scores the shootout winner.
Yeah.
So sometimes maybe a little bit of a kick in the pants works for some players better than others.
Yeah, take that, Torts. What I found mm-hmm. interesting, too, after the game, it was against San Jose, right? I believe it was against San Jose.
Yeah, I mean, so weaker,
it doesn't matter.
Weaker competition. Yeah. That's true.
This gives you an idea, and I know coaches, and I know every single coach in the league is like this, but John Tortorella said at the end of regulation when Michkov took a bad penalty, gave San Jose a two-minute power play to start overtime. Tortorella said after the game, he overstayed a shift at the end of the second that led to a San Jose goal, but he directly created all of Philly's three goals. So I just find that interesting. Overstaying a shift, Tortorella picked up on that. Okay, that's maybe one of the reasons why they scored.
Mm-hmm.
It's just coaching is intriguing to me. That's my whole point with this. But I'm with you. I thought it was fine. No, Michkov, he's 19. He's going to be a great player in this league.
Yes, he is.
And I mean, John Tortorella he knows what he's doing. He does. And if this means that Michkov is going to skyrocket from now on, maybe he'll get scratched again. That's fine.
Oh, well, he's going to get scratched again. The only argument that I will support for 2 seconds is it does hurt his chances at winning the Calder. Okay. When you have other players that are challenging for it, but at the end of the day, that's not John Tortorella's job, is to help his team win an individual award. His job is to coach his team every night to win games and build towards the future. And that's what he's doing with Michkov.
That was about 28 seconds, but who's counting?
Okay.
You said 2 seconds. Okay. We're going to go west. Not that I'm keeping track. We're going west after this. We'll talk Nashville, the Kings, Kirill Kaprizov, Kirill the Thrill. Boy, he's got a huge heartbeat right now, and it's amazing. We'll take a look at them in a bit as we continue Pucks in 7. Ryan Payton, Victoria Matiash, brought to you by Sprott.
Welcome back to Pucks in 7 with Ryan Payton and Victoria Matiash.
We went east and now we're going to go west. Welcome back, Pucks in 7. We're excited to team up with Sprott Money, Canada's leading precious metals dealer since 2008. Gold is outperforming all major indices right now in 2024, surging to 3,564 Canadian per ounce, a 28% increase. That's very good this year. Use promo code PUCKSIN7 for $10 off. Visit SprottMoney.ca. That's SprottMoney.ca for more. We went east, Vic, and now we're going to go west. And as you said on the lineup, our legal obligation to talk about the Winnipeg Jets. We're all binded legally. Every fan has to talk about them.
Until they lose.
Right? And you still talk about them. It's only their second loss in 16. Only their third loss in...
As the kids say, they deserve all the flowers. They're doing absolutely everything right. We all looked at Tuesday night's game against the New York Rangers as a barometer game. How were they going to measure up against a team that they could conceivably meet up in the Stanley Cup final should it unfold that way?
So you're talking about the Rangers then, how they could match up against a team like against the Jets, right?
That's what you're saying. What did I say? Did I say something?
No,
okay.
I'm kidding. You were saying how the Jets would match up against the Rangers, right?
Right.
Well, I'm just saying maybe it was a barometer test for the Rangers more so than it was the Jets.
I think it was for both teams. And I watched the majority of that game because flipping between watching the Leafs play was, you know, more...
They played last night? Oh, I didn't know.
There's an argument to be made against that.
Sorry.
But I watched a lot of that game, and it was very indicative of how good, because the Rangers came out hot,
mm-hmm.
and it went back and forth. It was a very entertaining game, I should say. It was more high scoring than you would expect mm-hmm. between a goaltender like Hellebuck and Shesterkin, especially the way that Hellebuck has played this year, putting up historic figures. And still, the Winnipeg Jets managed to find a way. Now, we can talk about everything that they're doing right. Okay, their goaltender is going to win the Vezina unless he falls to pieces. Everything is just working tickety-boo for this team right now. They are strong down the lineup. Everyone's contributing, and the Stars are putting in star-like performances. Do you know what I really appreciate about this so far, though?
What's it?
I really like the way that Scott Arneil, their head coach, has been dealing with the media as they've enjoyed more and more success. So after last night, okay, you're rewriting history again, because now no team has won 15 in 16 games to start the season, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. They're rewriting the books every single time they win a game. And he comes out, and you know there's so many other coaches in the league, Ryan, when they say, how do you feel about, you know, making history and the records that you're breaking? There's so many other coaches would say, you know what? At the end of the day, it's how we finish the end of the season, and it's next game, and we're not thinking about... Scott Arneil says, no, you know what? The guys have been great. They deserve this. They deserve the applause for this, because they've been fantastic out there, and we know it's a long season, but still, this is something to celebrate. And I like that, because it's real, because this is something to celebrate. The Jets are going to lose some games. They're probably going to go on a little bit of a skid
point. No. They're going to be 80. They're going to be 81-1 when the season's done.
That one loss to the Leafs, eh? Okay. But I like the fact that Scott Arneil is being a real human being and saying, yeah, you know what? My guys deserve to pat themselves on the back, because they played outstanding. Because you know what, Ryan? They have played outstanding.
Yeah, they have.
So
Kyle Connor's been great. Scheifele had a couple goals against the Rangers. Connor's been phenomenal. Pionk's been outstanding. Hellebuck, you mentioned him. He's been great. They've reached 15 wins faster than anybody in history. So they win 15 out of their 16 games that they played this season. And again, the game against Toronto, they were down 4-0. They made a 4-3. They could have won that one. We could be talking about a 16-0 team at the moment, but we're not. But still, 15-1 is impressive. There's no reason to keep going on about them, because they're so, so good. I will say this, that Connor Hellebuck, I mean, he's you know, if you want to talk about a good matchup against Igor Shesterkin, he's outplaying Shesterkin, but it's Shesterkin that wants a Hellebuck with his next contract.
Oh, yes, very nice. Okay, I'll give you
a Hellebuck with his next contract. Yeah,
that's your quota for the second half of this.
Yeah, I know.
Program.
I'm done. So I got it out in 4 minutes and 31 seconds. Off we go. Are you on board with Barry Trotz saying, I think my team, the Nashville Predators, are going to turn things around? I'm not yet.
In the sense that I, just like you, insist on being optimistic with the Penguins to a degree. This is not the same situation. I'm not comparing it. I can't give up on a team that is as talented as this Nashville squad is on November the 13th.
No, I agree.
And they have
looked better.
They have looked better the last couple of games. They are facing an uphill climb to clinch a playoff spot. But when you do have a player like Steven Stamkos, who is now playing better, you have other players like your Roman Josis of the world who have just underperformed to date, which is a very strange thing to talk about.
Right.
UC Saros is looking much more Sarosy right now. Okay. Especially the last handful of games. They're looking competitive. And I think, again, this is how they went on that streak. Okay, no Stamkos, no Marchessault, but they went on that streak after they weren't allowed to go to the U2 concert last year, very famously.
Yeah, I remember that.
And they clawed their way into the postseason. I think this team has the players to go on a run, and then maybe we're going to forget about how this season just did not get off to such a good start.
They have to, and I know everyone talks about the season last year as well, that didn't get off to a good start either. It did not as bad as this season, but still with all the pieces that they added, you thought, you know, they shouldn't be in this situation. I'm still not there yet. Give me through the end of November, maybe a bit of December possibly, but here's what they have to do. And I love these numbers. Last season, you remember Vegas clinched the last wild card spot in the West with 98 points, and the Preds were 1 point ahead with 99. So they had an 18 game point streak in the second half. Remember that huge run that they went on. So if you look at what they have now, they have 12 points. This means around the 95-point cutoff line, say for the postseason, they'll need 84 additional points the rest of the way. That's roughly 42 more wins in their final 66 games. So let's just say they need 42 wins in the final 66. That means you got to go 42-22 the rest of the way.
You need one good run.
Yeah, you need an 18-gamer like you did last year, but I don't know if that's going to happen.
You need one good run. My concern is also the strength of competition in the Central. Okay, if the National Predators are making the postseason, five teams from the Central are going. Right. Yeah. Because who are they going to the Wild are playing amazing. We'll get to that in a sec. The Jets, yeah, we just talked about. Colorado is right up there still. And then there's the Dallas Stars. So you're looking at the Predators as the fifth team, yeah, and you're thinking three go from the Pacific. That's the only, yeah, way that works out for me anyways.
Yeah. Speaking of Nashville, the Kings beat Nashville on the 4th of this month. So last Monday, not a couple of days ago, but last Monday, 3-0. They beat Minnesota 5-1, lose to Vancouver. They beat Columbus 5-2, and then they lose to Calgary back on Monday 3-1. Mm-hmm. The Kings are very, and I don't want to take away from what they're doing because I do think the Pacific Division is rather weak at the moment. I don't think it's really built to be weak because there's some very good teams. But I got to give the Kings more credit than I'm giving them. I'm not.
I think we do.
Yeah, okay. Well, then there we go. So we need to give them more credit for what they're doing. What I like about this a lot is this. If Edmonton, we'll talk about McDavid in a second. If Edmonton starts to get on a run at some point and get back to the team that we saw them play, how they play a year ago, these points the Kings are banking, even other teams as well, these are going to bode well for them come April.
It's interesting to start the season. They remind me a little bit of the Carolina Hurricanes in the East in terms of how the pundits address, sure, them and their chances at success.
Sure.
This is a team that maybe they make the playoffs, right? And now all they're doing is winning games. Darcy Kemper looks good. He looks good again. And if they're, Los Angeles is renowned for their defensive system. That's been the secret to their success. I don't think there's any question there.
Yeah.
They don't score five goals a night. That's not how they're built. No. And when your goaltender is playing well behind that and you're still without Drew Doughty and other players are stepping up and pitching in just enough to get it done, then I think you got to tap your stick to that.
Oh, well done.
Well, you have to stick with the theme. And well,
yeah, stick with the theme.
Stick with the theme.
Carry on.
And yeah, I think, okay, are they going to finish top of the division? I don't think so. Are they a playoff team? Yes, I think they are.
Yes, and then they'll face Edmonton the first round and they'll lose.
Okay, but we got to get there first.
Right.
So won't face Edmonton. Maybe they won't face Edmonton.
It's just that's all they do. Oh, I know. Great. We make great. We'll play Edmonton now. So they've scored 55 goals, the LA Kings have. So that's what, 1, 2, 3, they're fourth in the league, or they're in the top five. So that's pretty good. But they've given
for
up.
For them, that's excellent, yeah, yes.
They've given up 50. So to me, the sustainability factor of a +5, I know the Capitals last year, what, they were -320 and they still got into the postseason, something like that?
I think that was more rooted in the start of the season, though. I would like to see what those numbers are the last 2 weeks or so, because I think they'd be a little bit different. They're getting stingier again.
I'll tell you the numbers of Kirill Kaprizov.
Oh, my goodness.
So he's on pace for something like 150 points. I don't think that's going to happen, but you never know. He is, Vic, in the Hart Trophy discussion, top of the list for me.
There's no question right now. Here's the biggest bugaboo about it. And actually, you know what's quite amusing?
Biggest
bugaboo. You've heard bugaboo before. That's not, I'm not making that one up.
I know.
Last year.
Part of your dictionary.
Last year, I had him as my preseason Hart Trophy winner. Everybody went, ooh. Now, of course, that didn't happen.
Yeah.
This season, I picked Artemi Panarin. Not a dumb pick, but I wish I had fast forwarded my pick from last year and maybe laid $10 on it, because the odds were very different to start the season for Kaprizov to win the Hart than they are right now. He is the favorite right now, which is outstanding to see. This is my big issue. Nothing to do with his talent or skill. He's a top five player in this league. He is the engine that absolutely drives the Minnesota Wild. When he is on, they win games. And unlike Nathan MacKinnon in Colorado, there ain't no Cale Makar on the Wild.
Yeah.
I mean, you got Brock Faber and Jake Middleton. They're great defenders there. And there's other great players. There's other great pieces. Joel Eriksson-Ek is great. Zuccarello is underrated as a winger. But this team is going to enjoy success as far as he runs the show. My big concern, the biggest problem with him not being in this conversation, is durability. He does not play full seasons. Ryan, he doesn't.
Well, he's due. He's due then. So maybe this
one
is the full
year.
He's maybe put, this I is the 82 gamer that he does. Yeah. So he's played 81 in 21, 22. Yep. He was
that
one
was
shy.
It.
67 mm-hmm. before that, 55, 75 last year. So close, almost set, seven out. And now he's done 15. He's got 28 points.
Just
through,
stay healthy. I mean, put him in a chamber every night, man. I just want to see what this guy can do if he can play. I said 80 games. Yeah. He needs to play 80 games.
Yeah. Yeah. No, he does. Man, he's good.
Yes, he is.
So too is this guy.
And he's quiet. Yeah. He's quiet about
it. Yeah,
nice and
that's
smiley.
I think that's why I took the pause for a second because, you know, he doesn't need to. He just makes his game do the talking. On
sorry.
The, you know, as your phone's doing the talking. Exactly. It's the same kind
usually,
of
thing. I'm really usually good about that.
Oh, it's absolutely fine. I love it. Everyone. So basically what that ringtone meant to me was that Kaprizov is perfect right now.
You get a bonus one because my
thank
phone
you.
Went off.
So all right. Connor McDavid, 999 points in 658 games. Leon Draisaitl said, we're not talking greatness. We're talking legendary type of stuff. I can't believe he's a point away from 1,000. But
he's 27 years old.
To do it in the least amount of time that he's done it, unfathomable.
So he's 27 years old. He's been, mm-hmm. this is his 10th season in the league. That's how young he was when he started. When mm-hmm. you look at that, his first season was cut short because of injury. Remember that nonsense?
Yep. Yeah, yeah.
And
yep.
then had a couple of pandemic shortened seasons as well. He would already have well surpassed. I know, coulda, woulda, shoulda. I understand that. But there was things that were beyond his control. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Like
mm-hmm.
the pandemic shortened seasons. So you're looking at that. He's going to play another 10 years, barring tragedy. There's
at
no
least.
Question.
Yeah.
Okay. So, I mean, he's going to get his 1,000th point next game. I don't understand why that's not going to happen.
No.
So now we're looking at he's going to have probably $2,000, which is going to bypass everybody except Wayne Gretzky. So nobody's catching Gretzky at 2,800 and whatever.
That's a team-friendly contract if he just gets $2,000. That's a very team-friendly contract.
Right. So it's just, it's awesome to watch. It's awesome yeah. to watch mm-hmm. what he's doing in this era. Wayne Gretzky is a different player, different time, but also a different player. I'm not taking anything away
yeah.
from the best player who ever played the game. There's no mm-hmm. question of that. But to watch him stomp towards that mark is going to be very interesting to watch. I also like his comments after he got, because he had 4 points last night and he hit 999.
Yeah.
And they asked him, are you, you know, you're looking forward to it, are you thinking about it? He goes, I want to get it over with.
Oh yeah, of course. Yeah. He
so
does
not talking about it.
He wants nothing. He wants something to do with it, but he wants nothing to do with it. He's in this category and he's in this discussion with these greats. And it doesn't matter even if he got to 1,000 points, say in 6 months from now, he's still going to be among the greatest to ever play the game. But he is the fourth fastest, or he will be, to reach the milestone behind, of course, Gretzky, Mario, and Mike Bossy. Wayne Gretzky did it in 424 games. Leave it
he
at that.
He was a different player.
I know he was.
But the other two, different era, too.
Yeah, no, I know. Different
right?
era. Yep, yep. And, and you can't compare eras, whatever. But McDavid, you're going to get 1,000. You're going to get 2. And you just keep playing, man, and stay healthy because it's fun to watch.
Mm-hmm.
The St. Louis Blues, I'm not going to try to help them like I did the Penguins, Vic, because they're an absolute mess.
They are. They got off to such a promising start, too. And you can only say, I mean, their best player is out of the lineup hurt. So there's a Robert Thomas. There's an issue there, of course. But you can't just...
Yeah.
blame it on the one particular
no, you can't.
Absence, right? It's they're finding new ways to lose. They played a game against the Bruins last night that they legitimately should have been in on. They
mm-hmm.
didn't get any shots on net. You got to shoot on net to score. That's and then they lost to the Capitals. They lost to Utah. It's just this feels like a spiraling team again. And I wonder.
And they lost. They lost 8-1 to the Capitals. Didn't just lose. They lost 8-1.
Do you know? Yeah. So.
Wow. I had no clue where that was going, but I could see the wheels turning.
They stink. So it's almost the same situation, but not with the Penguins, because they do have younger players. But at what point do you continue to roll out the same personnel without making any significant changes and expect different results?
Yeah.
That's my question. The Blues have some good players on their team. They should be better than they are. I understand the
mm-hmm.
Central is a very tough division. The Washington Capitals don't play in the Central and they just beat your bum 8-1.
Yeah.
So
Right now, they have 14 points in 16 games. They've lost three in a row, and they're back of Utah. They have Colorado, Dallas, Winnipeg, and Minnesota ahead of them. Okay, last one. Love you put this on. Let's trade John Gibson again.
Well, we trade
him. Hold on, he's been traded? That's right. Let's trade him for once.
You and I trade him all the time, theoretically. So let's say this. John Gibson is back for the Anaheim Ducks, played a phenomenal game the other night, actually. He played really well. He had an off-season appendectomy, and it took him a little while to recover from that, which makes perfect sense. And now he's back, and he played well against weak competition. We'll take that into consideration. But now when you have a goaltender, a young goaltender coming up like Lukas Dostal, who's played very well for the Ducks.
Very well.
And this is a young team that is growing. They're not a playoff team this year. I don't think they're one next year either, but they are moving generally in that direction with young talent. This is the opportunity to invest in your younger goaltender, move out your aging goaltender. Only has, I think he has 2 years left, Ryan?
2 years, yeah.
2 years, okay. Now move him out somewhere else when he's playing well, because John Gibson is the classic surges to start the season and then falls off the cliff.
Yeah.
Move him now. Get a prospect draft pick, something that can help with your rebuild, and give John Gibson an opportunity to play for a winning hockey team.
Exactly. I've said for how many years he's a good goaltender. I've always believed in him. I think he's had the talent. You put him behind a better team, and we could have talked about him at some point winning the Vezina. I really do believe that. I'm so high on him.
I'm not there with you on that, but he's a quality goaltender, yes.
He is. 2 years left at 6.4, you're right. If you have a stock that is here, and Gibson's, I think people know what goalie they get in Gibson. If you get a different team in front of him, they'll say, I still believe in him. I really do. But I'm with you. Anaheim, you should have done this so long ago, but now's the chance. If you have things coming down the pipe, so to speak, I think it's a good time to do this.
Do you want to hear one rumored destination?
Yeah, quick.
Do you know of one? Colorado Avalanche.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense right now. Makes a lot of sense right now. Wow.
Sure does.
Okay, this just in. John Gibson will be dealt
Can
to the Avalanche.
Can you imagine?
Yeah, that'd be something.
Banner day for Ryan Payton. Going to have to bake a cake or something.
Yeah, and when we do, for sure, more than that. And when we do, we'll do a podcast that day dedicated entirely to John Gibson and the deal that he
listeners will love that.
Oh, they'll hate it. They'll turn it off within just when I introduce it. Okay, we're out of time. Been a lot of fun. We'll do this again. We went back to old school, as Vic did say off the top of the show, and we'll get some guests on too later on this week and also next week too. We'll do this again because it was really nice going back and forth, just the two of us, as we've always done that. Follow us on Instagram, on Twitter, or on X. Catch us wherever you get your podcast. We're also on the SiriusXM app. We're on our YouTube channel as well. And once again, good to do this with the Victoria. And as always, we're brought to you by Sprott Money. We'll talk to you next time.
This has been Pucks in 7, available on the SiriusXM app and wherever you get your podcasts.